Good morning. It's good to have you here today, and a happy Mother's Day to all of those who are mothers. It's good to have you here and worshiping, and I know some folks have family with them today, and it's good to see you today. We also extend a special welcome to Dr. Lorraine Luft, who is our guest organist, as Marilyn Glover is on vacation today. So we welcome her and thank her for being able to be here to provide special music for us and accompaniment. If you're visiting here for the first time, we also extend a special welcome to you and invite you to take a welcome card from the pew rack in front of you. We ask that you fill the card out and place it in the offering plate so that we may know who's been worshiping with us. And I'd like to invite all of you to stay for a few moments after the service for a time of refreshment and fellowship in our Judson Chapel, which is directly behind the sanctuary. On the back page of the bulletin, you will note the calendar for this week, and I'm not going to read it to you, but just call your attention to it. Do want to point out, though, that our Glen Ridge service is on Tuesday of this week, and feeding ministry is this Friday, and we will need cakes for that. Also, it is the deadline today to order spring flowers through the Refugee Immigration Ministry. If you'd like to do that, there are pictures and order forms available on a desk in Judson Chapel, and you can see Chuck Huddy during coffee hour today. There are several inserts in the bulletin today. The white insert is a nomination form for Layperson of the Year. This is your final opportunity to nominate someone to be Layperson of the Year. The Church Council will be selecting someone from nominations received tomorrow night. So you can either give this to me after church, the moderator's not here today, or you can place it in the offering plate and we'll make sure we get this. Also, the goldenrod insert is for our One Great Hour Sharing offering, which is one of our four annual American Baptist offerings that we receive during the year. This one is a special one because this we share with other denominations. It's not just American Baptist. The money is used by Church World Service. We think often for disasters, but also for other development. So over the coming weeks, we'll be having different inserts about different stories of how the One Great Hour of Sharing funds are used. The pink insert this morning is in honor of our loved ones that have been given money for blankets, and I'll be talking a little bit more about that in a few minutes, but this is the honor roll for blankets. Do want to call your attention to the, I'll probably do that now. The middle hymn is an insert, and it's a special insert that was written just recently in response to the earthquake in Nepal. And while I was away 2 weeks ago, someone asked the question, they were receiving money for blankets, and someone raised their hand and asked if the money that they were giving then would be going to the earthquake victims. And the response was that, well, probably not the exact money that we're giving now, or the blankets that we were giving now, but blankets that had been given in the past, that had been stored, that were ready to go. But also on Saturday, May 30th, from 5:30 to 7:30 at the First Baptist Church of Lexington, there will be a prayer service and a fundraiser to help the poorest of the people in Nepal who were killed or who were injured in that earthquake. And I'm just reading from the Massachusetts Baptist Multicultural Ministries email I received this week. Donations will help rebuild the church started by Reverend Bim Bahu Garung, now pastor of the First Nepali Baptist Church of Somerville, Massachusetts. This pastor is a native of the village and built a place to worship there in that village in Nepal. And the church and the entire village was destroyed, located in the epicenter of the earthquake. So as American Baptists in Massachusetts, we'll be responding in special ways to this community in Nepal that we have direct links to. And so our middle hymn is connected to that this morning as well. So that's my little explanation of why we're singing that hymn today. And at this time, I invite you to turn in the blue hymnal to selection number 728 for our responsive call to worship. It is Mother's Day, and we're focusing our first part on motherhood and reading from selected verses from Proverbs 31. Let us read responsively from God's holy word. A wife of noble character, who can find? Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She selects wool and flax, She is like the merchant ships. She gets up while it is still dark. She opens her arms to the poor. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She speaks with wisdom. She watches over the affairs of her household. Her children arise and call her blessed. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting. Our opening hymn this morning is A Christian Home, number 727. Those who are able are invited to stand as we sing together.
Thank you.
Let us pray. God, we have come this morning to hear again the message of your steadfast love, reminding us that you have not given up on us. For all of our shortcomings, for all the grief that we must cause you, we are thankful that you welcome us into your house with open arms. Speak to us again words of courage, strength, hope, compassion, and love. We ask this in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We now join in the prayer that he taught as we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated. If there are children sitting farther back in the sanctuary, I invite you to come forward for our moments together. Good morning. Your slide is just a little bit. So I don't have to reach quite as far. And you're all within my reach at this point. So I hope that you've wished Happy Mother's Day to your mom already this morning, and you might have some other plans, hopefully, during the day. One of the traditions we have in this church is that we invite people in the church to give money in honor of Mother's Day, in honor and to remember mothers that may have passed away, or those that are still living, or daughters, or aunts, or cousins, or sisters, or other friends who they love and want to recognize on Mother's Day with a $5 gift. And what those gifts give are blankets. And when I say, oh, goody, who wants a blanket? Especially one like this. Feel this. Heavy, isn't it? Especially on a day like today, this is very woolly and heavy. But besides covering yourself up if you're lying down, what else can you do with a blanket? Any ideas? No? No ideas? Sleeping with it? What if it's raining out? You could hold it above your head. You could make a little tent out of it. You could do a lot of things. If you needed to carry a lot of things and your arms just weren't long enough or strong. That's right. You could make like a hobo sack in it, or you could, you know, whatever you want to do. This is a lighter weight one, and this is used mostly in warmer countries. You can see how much. This is much lighter weight than the heavy woolly one is. But they do the same type of thing. See, it's much lighter weight than the wool. So this they came out with a few years ago. This is Church World Service. And thinking about the people of Nepal that had an earthquake, the earth shook. The second. Buildings fell down. You know, we're learning about a church that was destroyed. And the people were worshiping that day. It was near the end of their service. Some of them ran out of the building, thinking it would be safer outside. Some of them that were hit by falling debris. Some survived. Some were killed. And there are several organizations that have gone and are going to Nepal. And one of the things they'll be bringing with them are blankets. Church World Service, I'm sure, will be taking blankets with them. And not only to cover them up, you know, to cover it and keep them warm, but some of the other things we've talked about that we can do with blankets. And all of that is, has your mom ever hugged you? You might not want your mom to hug you now. You might be old enough that you don't want your mom to hug you, but you might remember your mom hugging you. If you put a blanket around someone, that's like a big hug. And the blankets that we send are our hugs. But those people will never probably know. But because we love them, because we've learned about love from our moms, our dads, and in our church, we've learned how to love from Jesus Christ. And so we're sending blankets to people, sending our hugs to them in times when they feel upset, worried, maybe in danger. And they know that someone cares for them. So I want you to think about that today, that, you know, someone cares for you too. And try and show your mom today how you love her. Let's pray together this morning. Lord, we thank you for this day when we can honor our mothers, grandmothers, our loved ones. And Lord, we pray for a blessing on the blankets that we have given to, that those that receive it may know that someone cares very much about them, so much that they gave money to pay for that blanket. Lord, send our love to those people who are receiving blankets this day. We pray especially for the people of Nepal today. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. You may go to your classes. As we come to prayer this morning, we have an opportunity of sharing our celebrations and our concerns with one another prior to going to prayer. And we want to keep Lucille Berry in prayer, and Lana's not here, so her caregiver may not have come today. So we want to keep Lucille and Lana in prayer today. Also, I spoke with Helen Fleet this week and is doing well and wishes she could be here, but does send her love to us and wants to be remembered to us. We want to keep Marilyn Glover in prayer. Marilyn is on vacation right now and traveling, and we want to keep her in prayer. Also, we want to keep Bev Sandberg is here today. Bev has moved to assisted living in Charlestown, but Bev is able to be here today. I know others have brought family members with you today, and it's good that those have come in honor of Mother's Day. Claire Stevens mentioned to me she wanted to express thank you to those who have sent birthday cards recently. So we want to remember Claire. Also, we do want to remember those issues that are in national news and international news as far as terrible storms that are taking place in our country and residual effects of the earthquake and avalanche in Nepal, but other violence issues as well. Do you have any requests for prayer, either celebrations or concerns this morning? If not, then, I'm sorry, Barbara? So your son Peter lives in Oklahoma, and we pray for those folks in that area. And your former daughter-in-law, Karen, who is facing some orthopedic surgery. So I want to keep both those folks and the extended folks in prayer today. Any other requests? If not, then let's go to God, lifting up some of these requests or something that's on your heart. Let's pray together. Lord God, it is good to come to your house this day to worship you, to be with family members and church family members and friends, and be a time of praise and glory to offering praise and glory to you, spending these moments of quietness in prayer, not only opening our hearts to you and speaking to you, but also sitting quietly and awaiting your message to us. Forgive us, Father, when we allow our lives to be so busy that we don't take time to commune with you, that we just say, well, I'll get to that. Forgive us if we allow only this hour on Sunday to be our focus of you. Continually remind us, O God, of your love for us, your compassion for us, your mercy and forgiveness. Lord, this day we lift up those who are ill. Pray for your presence in their lives, and pray for healing according to your will in their lives. We pray for our world, O God, where there are challenges and difficulties, where there are storms taking place, where there is warfare taking place. Lord, we just pray for your spirit to be in all those situations. We are grateful, Lord, for the women in our lives who nurtured us, who raised us in faith, who taught us right from wrong, and helped us learn the basic skills we need to succeed in life. We are blessed by the women who made your love tangible for us. For some, these were our birth mothers. For others, the mothers who adopted us or stepped in where they saw a need. They helped shape us into the people we are today. We know this day is not one of joy for everyone. We ask your blessing on those who yearn to be mothers, those who recently lost a mother, and those mothers who mourn the loss of a child. Enfold them in your tender, maternal embrace and comfort them in their time of sorrow. Bring reconciliation to those mothers and children whose relationships are broken. Create a space in mother and child for healing and forgiveness. We ask this all in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. We've worshiped in many different ways this morning, by singing, by praying, reading scripture together. We continue in our worship by an opportunity of presenting our tithes and our gifts to God. At this time, the ushers will receive the morning offering. Let us pray. Lord, sometimes we do wonder how we can express our gratitude to you. This morning we present these tithes and gifts to you and ask that you would bless them and bless us. Receive them as a token of our gratitude and help us to share the good news of Jesus Christ with others. We ask this in His name. Amen. You may be seated. Dottie Latta is our lay reader today and be reading the scripture.
The Lord says, "When Israel was a child, I loved him and called him out of Egypt as my son. But the more I called to him, the more he turned away from me. My people sacrificed to Baal. They burned incense to idols, yet I was the one who taught Israel to walk. I took my people up in my arms, but they did not acknowledge that I took care of them. I drew them to me with affection and love. I picked them up and held them to my cheek. I bent down to them and fed them. They refused to return to me, and so they must return to Egypt, and Assyria will rule them. War will sweep through the cities and break down the city gates. It will destroy my people because they do what they themselves think best. They insist on turning away from me. They will cry out because of the yoke that is on them, but no one will lift it from them. How can I give you up, Israel? How can I abandon you? Could I ever destroy you as I did Admah, or treat you as I did Zeboim? My heart will not let me do it. My love for you is too strong. I will not punish you in my anger. I will not destroy Israel again. For I am God, and not mere human being. I, the Holy One, am with you, I will not come to you in anger. My people will follow me when I roar like a lion at their enemies. They will hurry to me from the west. They will come from Egypt as swiftly as birds, and from Assyria like doves. I will bring them to their homes again. I, the Lord, have spoken. Blessings to this reading from his word.
Thank you, Dottie. Let's pray together. Lord, in the hymn that we sang, we find the answers in this scripture, that where there is pain and anguish, you still are there. You love your people. Lord, we're focusing on love this day. Mother's Day, we think of all the love that parents have for us and that we have for our children. Lord, we realize that the love that we experience here on earth is just a fraction of the love that you have for your children. This day, O Lord, we pray that our hearts and minds may be open to receive a message from you that will help us in our daily living. And we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. On this Mother's Day, I want us to focus on what it means to be a parent. Even though some of us have never played that role in our lives, all of us have been children and recognize many of the good and not so good attributes a parent can have. The 1986 book entitled Fatherhood by comedian Bill Cosby is about the difficulties of parenting. In the book, the author says the first parents were not Adam and Eve, but it was God. Even God had trouble with his kids, the author writes, for God was not able to inspire much obedience of faithfulness in Adam and Eve, and they did not have any better outcome with their children either. Isn't it amazing that God would give us the most precious gift in the world, a child, and not give us a manual on how to take care of that child or how to raise that child? When we purchase any kind of equipment or appliance or gadget, we get some sort of instructions or at least a website to go to get instructions. But with the most complicated gift we've ever received and will ever receive, there's no manual. There's no directions. There's no instructions. There's nothing quite like the ecstasy and the agony of being a parent. The bond between parent and child is one of the strongest forces humans can experience. When a child hurts, a parent hurts. And there are very few things that can break the bond of loyalty parents have for their children. In the 11th chapter of Hosea, the prophet depicts God as a parent. The child is the nation of Israel. This relationship is everything that our human parent-child relationships are, only much more. First of all, there's the love of the parent. Love beyond measure. The Hebrew language has a special word for God's love, chesed. This word is sprinkled throughout the Hebrew scriptures, including the prophet Hosea. Some English Bibles translate this word, this Hebrew word, as constant love or loving kindness. But I'm not sure that that does the concept justice. I think there's more to it. It's a love that will not quit. A love of those who are in covenant or complete trust and faithfulness. Nothing can break that. It's often been said that the God of the Old Testament is a God of judgment, and the God of the New Testament is a God of love. And while a lot of people feel that, when we read the Old Testament, we find many examples of God's loving kindness, of God's constant love throughout the Old Testament, including this book of Hosea. God is always a God of constant love. It's not human love. It's divine love. In chapter 11, Hosea paints a portrait of God's love for Israel. It begins, "When Israel was a child, I loved him." That's the way love stories begin. In verse 4, the Lord says, I treated them like those who lift infants to their cheeks. Do you remember that as a child or as a parent? As a child, nothing was more fun than being swept up into a parent's arms and held up over in the air. Not tossed in the air, but held up. Being whisked up that way is scary and exciting for a young child. All the same time, and the child's stomach does a flip-flop, resulting in a giggle of delight. The parent is not being abusive at that time, but bringing joy to the child, bringing delight and strengthening their relationship. With little touches like this, because Hosea is saying that God did that with his people. Here the prophet is portraying the tender, caring, and intimacy between the Lord and his people. But unfortunately, all is not well. Israel is unfaithful, and this hurts. This tends to break relationships. Hosea began his ministry about 750 years before the birth of Christ, at a time when the nation of Israel was drifting farther and farther away from God. In fewer than 30 years, they would be conquered by the Assyrians. Hosea knew that the Lord was watching this sad spectacle. At times, Hosea could hear the Lord talking to himself. And if being a parent won't get people talking to themselves, then nothing else will. Hosea 11, the chapter 11, is a divine soliloquy in which the Lord meditates on his relationship with Israel, his people. The Lord seems to have gone through all the cycles of behavior that parents go through with their children. Lecturing, reasoning, shouting, warning, begging, but none of the Lord's attention-getting devices has worked. And he is in agony. Imagine bringing that much displeasure to our Lord. One of the painful parts of being a parent is that you can't intervene in everything that affects your children. Sometimes you just have to let them learn life's painful lessons for themselves. Those who have read advice columns like Ann Landers or Dear Abby often saw this type of letter from sorrowing parents at least a couple times each year. A child had stormed out of the family and had not been heard from. In an open letter to the child, the parents plea for some word from the child. The ache in the parents' hearts is palpable. This letter could have been written by hundreds of thousands of parents. Such is the love of parents. But what is the Lord's final response to wayward Israel? It begins in verse 8 of chapter 11. How can I give you up, Ephraim? How can I hand you over, Israel? My heart winces within me. My compassion grows warm and tender. And the key words come in the following verse. For I am God, not a human being. This means that the Lord will continue to love his children, not because they deserve it or are necessarily lovable, but because God is God. God is so full of unconditional love that the New Testament proclaims God is love. And that's the same God in the New Testament as the God of the Old Testament. Have you ever encountered unconditional love? If you have, then you understand that it is the most wonderful thing in the world. It heals the brokenhearted and puts steel in the spines of the faint-hearted. U.S. Navy veteran Dave Rover testifies to the unconditional love he experienced in his life. As he tells the story, 8 months into his tour of duty in Vietnam, a phosphorus grenade he was poised to throw exploded in his hand, 6 inches from his right ear. He was burned beyond recognition. Amazingly, he survived and eventually arrived at the burn center at Brooke Army Hospital in San Antonio, Texas. The day before his wife, Brenda, was to come for the first time to see him, The patient in the bed next to Dave was visited by his wife. That wife stared briefly at her husband lying in the bed, took off her wedding ring, and put it on the bedside table, and walked away. That event set up the most amazing and most anxious 24 hours in Dave's life. Eventually, the next day did come, and the moment finally came. He could hear Brenda's footsteps in the hallway, and then there she was. How would she react? How would she respond? She smiled and said, "Welcome home, Davy." And all he could say was, "I want you to know I'm really sorry that I can never look good for you again." And she said, "Oh, Davy, how silly. You never were good looking anyway." Such was the beginning of Dave Rover's psychological and spiritual healing. Where did a 20-year-old like Brenda Rover learn to love like that? When asked that question, she replies that she grew up in a loving home as a committed Christian, nurtured by the Bible and Christian fellowship. These were the building blocks that formed and shaped her. And so when the test came, she was ready to say those words that came from the heart of God, "Welcome home." That's the kind of love that can heal the world. The good news is that God offers it to us, all of us, and all we have to do is receive it and accept it. God is faithful. God loves us. God is God, not a human being. And as we celebrate the love we have experienced through our human mothers, may we realize that God's love is even stronger, deeper, and longer lasting than we can ever, ever imagine. For God loves us for all eternity. Let's pray together. Lord, we know that we don't deserve your love. It is a gift. At times, we're not lovable at all. But Lord, we know that you do not love our actions and our words at times, but you do love us. And we thank you for that. We thank you for the love that has been demonstrated to us by our mothers and our fathers and others in our lives who have served in those roles as mentors and coaches and teachers. Lord, this day, as we remember and honor our mothers, we do pray that we may also remember your love, not only of the New Testament, where it proclaims that you are love, but also we find your love throughout the Old Testament as well, that you love your people so much that you are willing to do anything for them, to protect them, to guide them. Lord, we also know at times we have to let our wayward children learn their own ways. We see that in Scripture as well. Lord, we most especially thank you for your most precious gift, your gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, who was given to us, who came in bodily form to demonstrate your love. It's in his name that we ask and pray all of these things. Amen. Our closing hymn this morning is number 731, "Like as a Mother Comforteth." God, whose love is greater than that of any parent, longs to share love through all who would serve as human parents of faith. As you go, may God's love live in you. May the grace of Christ surround you. May the Spirit nurture you so you may nurture others. Amen.